This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Ever since the earthquake and resulting tsunami hit Japan on March 11, we've seen and heard countless heartbreaking stories. Alongside them, though, are the amazing escapes and tales of survival, and we're hearing one of them this morning from Peter Malins. Peter's an Aussie living and working in Japan as an English teacher and part of the church New Hope Tokyo. But he wasn't in Tokyo the day the earthquake hit. Good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good morning, Helen. Good, thanks.
Now, where were you on March 11th?
I was actually just near Sendai, which is the main area where the earthquake struck. So I was actually up there on an English teaching conference actually during the week. And then we just left there. We were just leaving on the Friday when the earthquake struck. So a little bit close to the center of all of the action up there.
So what happened when you were on the train and the earthquake hit?
Yeah, well, fortunately, we actually got to the station a little bit early, and we caught the earlier bullet train. We had originally planned to get a 2:44 train, but you know, thank God that we actually got there earlier, and we got there 20 minutes earlier, and we got that train that was 20 minutes before the earthquake struck, exactly 20 minutes, 2:26. We got that train out of Sendai Station. So we were 20 minutes away. Those things go so fast, about 300 kilometers an hour. So we were about 60 k's away from Sendai when the earthquake struck. And we were just cruising along in the train. And a friend of mine, they have earthquake alerts on their phones over there.
Mm-hmm.
And the friend sitting next to me got an earthquake alert. And then just as that happened, the train suddenly lost power and just slowed down and eventually ground to a halt. We were in the middle of a massive mountain tunnel at the time. And as soon as it stopped, just everything started shaking violently. And we're just like, whoa, what's going on? So pretty scary stuff at that time. But, you know, it was just amazing that we were out of Sendai at that time.
Mm.
So, you know, I really thank God for that.
So then you were stuck on the train.
Yeah, basically. So we, you know, the train had no power. The train driver kept announcing as much information as they knew at the time, that there's a massive earthquake. You know, we've lost power. We don't know what's happening exactly. Sit tight in the train. So we were just there in the middle of this massive tunnel, wondering exactly what's, you know, going on the outside. People were trying to call friends and family and that kind of thing, but the phone lines were jammed for ages. You know, people couldn't get calls in or out. So a lot of people were just putting messages on Facebook, you know, with iPhones and stuff like that, putting messages on Facebook, hey, I'm okay. I eventually did that as well. But we were stuck there actually overnight for 18 hours, not knowing exactly what was happening, but we just knew we had to stay there. 18 hours overnight in the train, and then eventually the next morning, they finally told us, look, we've decided, you know, we're going to get everyone off the train. Those bullet trains hold like 1,000 people, so this is not a little train.
Mm.
Out of the tunnel, and then we walked down and up like an emergency side exit, about 300 meters up out of the mountain. And gee, it was good to see the sunlight after that.
I bet.
It was wonderful to be out. And then they had buses arranged for us to either go north or south. So, you know, we headed back to Tokyo another 9 hours. Via the local roads because, you know, the highways were shut. So couldn't use the highways either. So another 9 hours after that, we finally arrived back in Tokyo, very exhausted, but, you know, so grateful to be alive in a very, very dangerous situation.
Okay. How did you go to the toilet? How did you eat? What happened with all that stuff?
Sure. I mean, we didn't have anything in the train, really, aside from what people had brought. Unfortunately, I didn't take anything. I didn't even take any water. So I was like, oh, no, what am I going to do? You know, fortunately, during the middle of the night, emergency crews actually came in to the tunnel with, you know, big crates of bottles of water. Mm. And, I mean, you know, they drink cold green tea and stuff over there. So they brought green tea in and little snacks and stuff like that in the middle of the night. Just and they handed it out to everyone on board. So that was great. They seemed to finally, you know, organize those things really well. But as for the toilets, yeah, I mean, they were starting to smell, of course.
Mm.
You know, just because there was no power to the train, so, you know, they couldn't flush and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, that wasn't really very pleasant. But anyway, I just stayed away from that area,
Basically. At what point did you find out how bad the earthquake had been and that the tsunami had happened after it?
Yeah, well, see, that was the thing. You know, because we were in this massive tunnel, we couldn't see what was happening in the outside world. So, in a sense, we were kind of sheltered from everything that was happening outside. I mean, literally sheltered. And so people started to get reports from either when phone calls did come through or from their iPhones. You know, they can. My friend pulled up some footage on his iPhone. And we were just like, oh, my goodness, what on earth is going on outside? So information slowly kind of trickled in that way, but we still had no real concept of what had happened until we got out and we started to watch the news and things like that. And we were just, of course, shocked, like, oh, my goodness, how did we miss all of that stuff, you know? We didn't see the tsunami. We didn't... see, I mean, we couldn't even really see stuff shaking aside from, you know, the train itself moving. So in a sense, we were really sheltered from a lot of that stuff, even though we were actually in between Sendai and Fukushima.
Oh, wow, right in the hotspot.
Right in the hotspot, yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how we kind of missed all that, but, you know, it's just a miracle that we did. Yeah, but slowly the information started to filter through. And we were just like, wow, thank God for that we got that train, you know.
Mm.
So very interesting.
Peter, we'd love to hear how things are in Japan now, not only with the natural disaster, but now facing a nuclear threat as well. Can you hang on for a few minutes?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
Fantastic. Peter Malin's an Aussie living in Japan who left Sendai 20 minutes before the earthquake and tsunami hit. Peter, what was the mood like in Tokyo when you flew out?
Yeah, obviously still a pretty somber mood over there. You know, people just don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, they still have aftershocks every day or two. Even in Tokyo, there's still aftershocks of the earthquakes. So, you know, there's this really, I guess it's an uncertain mood. You know, they don't know what's going to happen. And, of course... every day they're just seeing images of the devastation up in northern Japan. So, you know, I don't know how people really deal with that, how they deal with that as a nation, because, you know, their nation has been devastated in many ways. So I think there's a lot of fear still and, you know, people just trying to come to grips with what has happened to the country. You know, it's a national crisis. So, and then of course there's a whole nuclear thing, which puts a lot of fear in people too. You know, they don't understand radiation, and so that puts a lot of fear in. You know, I remember after that happened, after the earthquake, bread and milk and eggs and stuff in the shops just sold out immediately. You couldn't get any. People just panic and bought all of that kind of stuff. And then with the radiation, you know, there were reports that radiation levels are a little bit higher in the water. So all of the water, all of the bottled water in the shop suddenly disappeared. You couldn't find any of that either. So that kind of gives you a hint of how people were feeling, and in many ways still are feeling, about the whole thing.
Are you planning to go back?
Yeah, I am actually going back in a few days' time to you know, go back and reconnect with friends. And obviously my ministry and work and stuff is over there at the moment. And just, yeah, just see what I can do as well. I guess it's a time when we can make a difference, you know, and we can be a positive influence and just really love people and give them hope at such a difficult time. So I think it's a wonderful opportunity for me to go and help out where I can, you know, in the church over there, and helping out with some volunteer relief stuff as well. So yeah, we'll just see what I can do to help out and just bring some hope and peace to people's hearts, you know, hopefully.
Great. Look, thank you so much for talking to us today. Really appreciate that. All the best when you do go back to Japan. And I'm still even, I imagine you'd still be quite concerned about safety, though, for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's of course, it's one of those things, you know, you do think about those things as well. And you just learn to pray really hard, you know, trust God with the rest. So, yeah, definitely. But, you know, we just pray and believe that something good can come out of all of the tragedy in that nation at the moment. So, yeah, that's what we're believing.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails, and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.